You're listening to the Spirit and Truth Podcast. I'm Maggie Ulmer, and on today's episode, Matt, Emma, and I continue our summer series called Summer in the Scriptures. We're continuing with the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. It's a great conversation, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Welcome back to the Spirit and Truth Podcast. I'm Maggie Ulmer, and I am here with
Matt Reynolds,
Emma Winchester.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm here.
Good.
That's enthusiastic.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm physically present.
Well, okay. I'm more than physically present. Are you going to ask me how my soul is now, or like what's up?
We don't usually record that part.
That's true. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're still in our summer series, Summer in the Scriptures. We had a fascinating debate before the podcast started about whether or not the plural of scripture is scripture or scriptures. And we've decided
we don't actually care what the right is. We're just going to say what sounds good to us.
Some of us care, but that's okay.
Well, I'm going to say summer in the scriptures.
All right. I think that works.
I think it would either be summer in scripture or summer in the scriptures.
Why don't we just call it Summer in the Bible?
How about we just call it Reading the Bible?
That's good. Okay.
Summer in the Scriptures. Anyway, we're back on track here. We're continuing in our look at John. We're still in John chapter 14, and we're looking at verses 15 through 31 today. And we're going to have Emma read them for us today.
Woohoo.
Just a reminder of context, we're in John 14 to 17 is what we're looking at this summer, and this, some people label this the farewell discourse. These are some of Jesus' kind of final instructions and words to his disciples before he's arrested and crucified.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So it's something we should pay attention to.
Yes.
All right.
All right. John 14, starting in verse 15, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Amen. That is a powerful passage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like these chapters, it's like every sentence is dense with truth, with instruction, conviction. I mean, it's just a beautiful, it's beautiful what Jesus is sharing with the disciples. So one of the themes that certainly jumps out is this idea that he leads with in verse 15, the start of this section, if you love me, keep my commands. And then that kind of comes up as a refrain throughout the text. He says in verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. What do you all think about that? There's so much other stuff in here, but in particular, what do you think about this idea, the connection between love and keeping his command or enacting his teaching?
Yeah, you know, something that I have written in my Bible is that love looks like something. Hmm. And so it's just fascinating, like Jesus is explicitly saying to them, if you love me, your life will look like something, and it will look like the commandments that I have given you.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's fascinating, too, especially since this is, you know, right before he goes to the cross. And so as he has said over and over again, I do exactly what the Father tells me to do. And if you know me, you know the Father. And so if you love me, you'll do as I have done. And one of the things that I've always wondered is, later as the disciples were reflecting, I wonder if they sort of like put all of these pieces together and they realize, well, you went to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a call to a deeply radical sacrificial existence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know, I think it's important, for me, it's an important reminder about the connection between obedience to Jesus and love for Jesus, because there can be in some popular, especially I think American Christianity, there's this like, there can be a tendency to cheapen the grace that's been extended to us by, you know, emphasizing which is true, the unconditional nature of God's love for us, mm-hmm. which is absolutely true, but that sort of just our primary response to that is just sort of assenting to just a certain set of theoretical beliefs.
Yeah.
And there's no sense in which love between any two people is ever just about theory or merely believing
or just the feeling.
The feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I don't think Jesus is not saying that you earn my love if you keep my commands, but he's saying that the sort of the sincerity of your love for me will be demonstrated
mm-hmm.
by the way that you keep them, by the way that you actually live out that which I'm showing you. I was thinking about 1 John.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 John 1, verse 3, it says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
So, you know, in our ministry with Spirit and Truth, and when we do our weekends with churches, we do actually talk about obedience quite a bit. And I think obedience is, in fact, the fruit of real love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm even thinking about my relationship with Heidi, my wife. You know, we're getting ready to have our 19th wedding anniversary here shortly. And if I sort of just always just said that I loved her, but I never like did the things that I know that she loves
mm-hmm.
or like demonstrated that love for her in the way that I set aside time or you know, served her in different ways. Like if it was just only talk, that wouldn't be real love at all.
Mm-hmm. No.
So certainly that can't be how it works in a genuine relationship with God either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was reading Oswald Chambers this morning, actually, and in today's devotional, he talks about spiritual laziness. Mm. It's like titled the lazy spiritual saint or something like that. And he talks about this idea that active work and spiritual work are two different things. And so we can approach Christianity with like somewhat of an active work. You know, we do the right stuff. We play the good game. We, you know, we check off the boxes on our to-do list that we know that we should do. And yet all of it is for the benefits of Christ rather than the realization of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking about that now because, you know, here he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you keep his commandments, the realization is death, which will lead to life, of course. But when we just do the active work of Christianity without the real spiritual work, we're doing it all for the benefits of Christ, but not for him.
Yeah. When you say benefits, there's another word that I hear in my head, and it's amenities.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's so insightful. And Oswald is like that.
He is.
So pokey too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's funny because when we, that kind of relationship with Jesus can lead to a very superficial existence mm-hmm. in the body and in our relationship with Jesus. And then what can happen is that because our roots don't go very deep, we can become subject to the pressures and the stresses, you know, just like it says in the parable of the sower, all of the things that might want to sort of choke us mm-hmm. out of the gospel.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then those amenities, they just don't seem like enough to keep us there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, after this initial language about if you love me, keep my commands, immediately then we get to this promise of, and which is quite beautiful, because the reality is we can't keep the commands of God. We can't live into the fullness of Jesus' life on our own human strength. And so it's like Jesus is like, he's like cutting off that before it ever gets started, you know, and you're not going to have to do this on your own. Mm-hmm. And because he says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate mm-hmm. to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now, in the rest of this dialogue, as we go throughout these chapters, the Holy Spirit's going to be talked a bit about quite a lot, which I also think is interesting given, you know, again, the context here, that Jesus is emphasizing the Holy Spirit so much, because, you know, the biggest fear that these disciples have, like, they've given everything to kind of abandon their typical lives before to follow this rabbi. Now he's telling them that he's going to leave. He's telling them multiple times and they don't like it. And then it seems that his main response is, yeah, I know this is hard, but there's something coming. Like, I'm not going to leave you. Like it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm going to go, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And that's an incredible promise that we can't take for granted. Mm. Like, I feel like we hear that all of the time, or it's, you know, we kind of gloss over it in the scripture, but you know, I just want to invite people, as they're hearing this again, just to let the gravity of the gift of the Spirit sort of wash over you. And in fact, this is central to God's plan for humanity.
Yeah.
In fact, I love what it says as you skip over after Judas, you know, speaks up, but Lord, why do you intend to, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? And then Jesus replies, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's really beautiful. Like, God intends to take up residence in our lives through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what the Christian life is.
Yeah, fellowship with God. It makes me think of you reference 1 John. And yeah. In the very first few verses of the first chapter of 1 John, the disciples are talking about, we're sharing this with you so you can have fellowship with us. We have fellowship with the Father. So through this mutual sharing of what God desires for our lives, a testimony of what he has done, the goodness of God, we all in the body can have fellowship with God.
Amen. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
And fellowship with God, like, I feel like we may have talked about this a little bit last week, but it's... that's what we were created for in the beginning. It's yeah. It's taking us right back to the garden.
Mm-hmm.
When he says, you know, I'll come and make our home with them. Mm-hmm. This is God's heart. This is his desire from the very beginning. And the fulfillment of that promise is being made manifest through the presence, the active presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we say this often on our weekends, but the Holy Spirit is not like a side issue for Christians. It's not like a little... you know, special sauce that just some, like, this is at the very center of God's design for humanity. Mm-hmm. He desires to be in fellowship with his creation, his active presence, interacting moment by moment, day by day, walking and talking with those whom he loves.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, of course, we talk about that a lot in the ministry. We just talk about the importance and significance of the Holy Spirit. And Matt, you have your favorite trick question that you like to ask people about the Holy Spirit. But it's fast. I do understand why we don't understand it. And because it is mysterious, the Holy Spirit is mysterious. And even right here in this passage, verse 27, after he's talked about the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you everything I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And he says, I do not give to you as the world gives. And I think about that little sentence, I do not give as the world gives. I mean, the world gives in a very sort of transactional way. Everything that human beings exchange is temporal. You know, it has a lifespan.
Yeah.
But what God gives has eternal significance.
Yeah.
And so it's no wonder that Judas was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
I once heard a quote that said, God never gives a gift inferior to himself.
Dang, that's a good one.
Yeah. And normally I'm not the quote girl, but here I am quoting all these people. But and I don't know who said that, so creds to them, Jesus. but this scripture passage just reminds me of that so much, because even the peace that he gives is himself.
Yes. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I love verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a generic peace, it's the very peace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's his own peace that he's giving to us. You know, I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Yep.
Well, I think that's a word for this day and this generation. People are desperate for peace, and everywhere you look, people are afraid and have troubled hearts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that's, I certainly don't want to go down this road, but I think that's part of our obsession over politics.
Yeah.
It's like they're looking for some sort of security, some kind of something that they can grab onto.
Sure. Or... you know, if it's not politics, it can be work. If it's not work, it can be relationships. If it's not relationships, it can be, you know, money or whatever flavor of security you think is going to fill the itch or the hole that you have. And we all have them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But we will never know real peace apart from the presence of God.
Amen. Well, friends, thank you for listening to this second episode of Summer in the Scriptures. And we hope that you'll come back to us as we journey through the Gospel of John, these few chapters. And please, you know, share this episode, hit that subscribe button, and we'll come back to you in the next episode.